Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Saul. Presented by the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook and Top Fitness.
Coach, good morning.
Hey.
You said after the game that you needed to watch the tape to kind of get a sense as to what happened out there. What'd you see?
I think a lot was kind of obvious that we didn't play the kind of game we want to play against these guys. We took care of stuff that we wanted to take care of as they threatened. But the main thing that happened was just them running the football and bouncing the ball around, and we did not deal with it as well as we need to. We didn't tackle as well. We didn't pursue properly on some stuff. And so we got exposed in some on the edge, and it just looked crappy. It just looked lousy and felt lousy about it. So what's obvious, too, is by the second half, they rushed for 2.6 in the second half, okay? How did they rush for 140 and then they rushed for 50? We got back to what we needed to get done, probably, and I'll take full credit for it, that I wanted to make sure that these guys did not have explosive pass plays in this game because they had just won the game the week before against Cincinnati, which was so different than how they'd been playing. Wanted to make sure that was out of the game plan, and I think maybe that was our first concern, and it just got into our heads. Mm-hmm. We didn't play right. We didn't play the way we needed to, and once we got going, we came back and got back in the ballgame, and you know, the hard part about this, it was a close game the whole time. It's a one-score game the whole time, and it didn't feel like that because we weren't commanding really the tempo of the game the way we want to. So it just felt like a really crappy outing, and as we all saw that, and at a time we needed it most.
Salky's taught me over the years in baseball. I didn't know baseball. I mean, I played a little bit as a kid, but I didn't know baseball. And over the course of 15 years of doing this show and watching the Mariners and learning, when they don't hit, it looks like they don't have effort. You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, where's the energy? Salk's like, hey, bro, they're just not hitting. And in baseball, when you don't hit, it doesn't look like you have energy. Mm-hmm. You talk all the time about playing hard. And when you're not tackling well, I think those in the stands, right, and I think those watching from afar look at it and go, you're not tackling, you're not playing hard.
Yeah, it looks like the effort isn't there. Yes. That's not the case at all, because a lot of when you miss a tackle, a lot of times, because you run so fast, you overrun it, and you run past stuff, and you're out of control. For instance, a really good example would be like in the very first third down play that Spoon has. It's a late throw. He's got his guy covered. He's 4 yards under the sticks. We're going to get out of there. And he goes flying at the guy. It's his first open field tackle he had in a month or whatever. And he fell right off the guy. He's a great tackler. He's a tremendous player. But in that instance, he overextended himself and missed a tackle that was really pretty routine for him. And he'll make, really 9 out of 10. So there are circumstances that draw you into looking like you're not really what you are. And so it's unfortunately, that was a crap game for us. And we had to come on back, and then we had our chances, and we didn't get the finish that we needed.
First half, as you said, the rush defense obviously was not where you wanted it to be. What is the first step of stopping the run? What's the very first thing you need to do?
Yeah, I thought about you might want to ask a question in that regard. The running game starts with really understanding the defense, where you're put, what your responsibility is. And as the blocks happen to you, you're called on to play accordingly. Like if a left tackle is playing on offense and he's going to try to run a sweep play, he's going to try to hook and get outside position on the defender. Well, our defenses all have rules and principles where you're supposed to play, and where you, in essence, the thought is to keep an arm free in the direction of the technique. And so now there's the battle begins. Does the lineman get that guy's arm from being free, and does he start to put him in a bad position, which the other defenders are counting on him to be in that position? So it's very, very disciplined, and it's very connected to what the call is and the technique, and then the blocking scheme. They have their play in it. They're trying to keep us from being where we're supposed to be. We're trying to be where we're supposed to be, and fit off of one another. So it's really discipline is really what it comes down to: understanding the scheme, reading the block, being in the right spot, and everybody goes bump, 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 bump right on the line of scrimmage. And then when the ball gets there, you knock the fire out of the guy and make the tackle. So it's way more about discipline than in technique than you might think. You think it's just play hard and run in there and make the hit. Well, that doesn't happen like that very often. It's all connected.
And then one of the crappy moments, unfortunately, and I told Salk, being there in
crappy
person.
Crappy is the word of the day.
Crappy
right
is the word of the day. I wore my flannel for you. I said to Salk, like, watching in person, I thought they were going to blow the whistle. I thought momentum had stopped. I thought at the 5-yard line, just watching it in person, I thought they were going to blow the whistle. They don't blow the whistle. Najee keeps going. They keep moving. Reek's out there hopping, not really in. You know, it just looks crappy. is you watch it on tape.
Have you noticed that this has happened? I really go back to, we refer to it even as the Pro Bowl tackle. Remember when the Pro Bowl started, the guys stopped tackling, yeah, and they stopped playing, they stopped trying hard, and they just all get up and everybody stopped and they blow the whistle and everybody kind of give up and the play go to the next play. Well, it's found its way into football. You see a lot of times now where there's a lot of guys standing up, nobody's going to the ground. It's not because they're not trying to go there. They stand them up and they drive them back, and nobody knocks the pile down and gets underneath it. And so you're waiting on the guy to determine when the momentum has stopped in the play. The guy's not necessarily down. Right. They have to figure it out. And if they wait a little bit, here come the offensive linemen. And that's exactly what happened. The offensive linemen come, and they just move that group of guys. It's a horrible part of football. It came out of the Pro Bowl deciding, well, okay, we don't need to hit all these guys. We don't need to get underneath all that stuff. And it's just found its way into ball, and it happens more often. And so it's on them to determine when the motion is stopped. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a difference of opinion sometimes. And so we have to fight our tails off. We got to get underneath those things and knock those big piles down. Yep. So there is no indecision there. Yep. And it happens in football across the board.
So, it's not just a matter of a guy driving his legs versus a defense that isn't able to topple him?
Some of the time, the running back's not even on the ground. His feet aren't even on the ground because he's been lifted. And that's when it gets really dangerous, because now it's just all the big guys moving. Mm. And, you know, if that happens, and you if you look carefully in there, the guys are sometimes they're lifted, and the momentum of the wad of bodies makes the thing keep moving. There's no excuse. It's not determine how we're supposed to go forward. We're supposed to knock these piles down to get them on the ground. Yeah.
So listening to you talk through kind of the technique and everything that goes into, you know, the primary principles of rush defense, how do you coach physicality at that point? Because, you know, on one hand, I understand a lot of what you're saying and the technique and the way it works with the call and everything else.
But week 16? Yeah, December.
How do you coach
as
the
I said
physical,
to Salk, like
physical
these part. Guys' bodies beat up. We look at your practice reports and the number of guys not going. So how can you bring that element?
You have to draw on what's happened before in the games, because you know you're out of pads now. It's not where you can practice that part of it. It's the mental side of it, for sure, and it's carrying it over from week to week. We've been talking for years about, as the season goes, you see a deterioration in the play, and that's just natural with what happens. Guys are banged up, and guys don't get to get in pads, and it's the pads, the repetitions of the right tempo and the right rhythm of stuff that keeps you on course, other than the mentality of it. And you just have to try to carry it over and keep it going. And some guys help you more than others. Some guys have a built-in makeup that helps you, and they draw other people with them. And, you know, you try to lean on those guys a lot and lean on their word, their thought, you call on them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You illustrate their pictures, their clips from film, and we just try to keep on selling and selling and selling is really what we're doing.
It's what you've done to teams over 14 years.
Yeah, so been doing it for a long time.
Yes, so on the flip side of that, the question would be, is there been enough of that offensively? Have you found enough and captured enough of that style of play to be able to pound people, to be able to run at them?
You know, if you've listened to me over the years, there's been a thought about it's the running game that closes the circle of toughness on your team.
Yep.
You know, in special teams, it's defense, and then it's that running game element. And that has not been part of our team the way we would like it to be. Our average per rush, that's not the point. It's the style of the way you go about it and all. And we have not captured enough of the run game to get that element as part of our makeup. And that's something we're still fighting for. It's not that we don't know it. It's not that we're not tuned into it. It's not that we don't want it. It's just not coming to life the way we need it to, and it continues to be an issue. You know, we've run the ball for, you know, 20 to 23 or 4 times for about the last month. Yep. And we're 15 in this last game, you know. And that's because it always comes back to conversions, first downs, more attempts, you know, making those drives last so that you get the opportunities. But it's not the way we need it to be, and it's what we keep fighting for.
Why do you think that is?
It continues to be escaping us. And I go back to, I really think it's our third down principles that not being able to convert, which I'm just beside myself to think that we can't get better at third down stuff. A couple times, it was 2 weeks ago. Well, I don't know. We were, whatever, we were 9 out of 16 or something like that. And the game is an entirely different feeling game. We have to get those numbers right to take advantage of the opportunities, to extend the drives, to extend the opportunities, and make those plays come to
life. You're talking about the running game part, and you said it's not just the yards per carry average. It's the mentality and the way it looks and feels. Is that personnel? Is that scheme? Is it the calls? Like, what would lead to that?
Well, the obvious, let's use the example when we just watched the Steelers did a really nice job. You know, Najee is about 230, and he runs like it. He runs at you. He runs coming forward. He's always, you know, he's not going to be the flashy guy at all in a running game. He's going to be the guy that looks for the opportunity to run through something, run through a tackle, bounce off of a guy. That's an element for them. And we'll give you another example, was the element the week before against the Titans. And they got that monster that is back there that always brings that mentality. Those guys give you what you're looking for. Now, our guys, and Kenny is a flashy, you know, he's going to make you miss, and he's as quick as anybody can be, explosive as anybody can be. And he runs physical, too. Now, he's got his times. He'll run right through stuff, and he's good at it. And Zach is more of the bigger back and runs more aggressive, more kind of bounce-off-y kind of stuff. But they're still developing. They're still coming on, and we're not able to take advantage of their bright spots as much as we would like. But still, there's an element there that you go back. You want to get the most vivid illustration was when we had 24 playing. That was as clear as it could get, and that was like what the Titans show you. That's why Pittsburgh shows you, and so it's not quite the format of our guys makeup wise. We've got to keep pushing what they do well. That's how we do it, and I love their style, love what they bring, but yet it hasn't given us, with the calls that we've made, exactly how we want to feel.
And I know Evan and Abe could not finish that game. Evan got knocked in the head, and Abe, it sounded like it was knee again. Any update? Is what are we, Wednesday, Tuesday? Tuesday.
Evan's had a good couple first days coming back, showing the signs that he's recovering. Have to wait and see all the way to the end of the week. Abe's been, he missed a little bit of practice last week because he's nursing it. You know, the knee just isn't quite as there as he wants it to be. It's not like it's not stable. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel the power. So you can see it in plays before we got him out of there that you could tell he wasn't able to drive the way he would like to and wasn't able to play like he's capable. So we had to make a change. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that's going to go. It's less likely that can respond because it's been a sore knee for a long time.
I would think one other element along all those things you said is just possessions. And I think you've hit on this a couple times in post games, just the number. What was it in Tennessee, like 7 possessions, right? I mean, that was just that kind of game. Both teams possess the ball. And I know it's not college where you see 12, 15, 16 possessions. The NFL is 8 or 9 possessions. But it just feels like as well, getting the ball back, getting off the field on third down, taking the ball away, right? You're just not getting the number of possessions it feels like to kind of run and pound and do some of what you want to do.
Unfortunately, it's more obvious than that. You get the same amount of possessions as they get. You got to make your due when you get your chance. You got to stay on the field, get them off the field by your third downs, and stay on the field by your third downs. And it's you know, it's been a theme.
That's been a problematic stat, really, all year.
It has been, you know, on both sides. Has not been what it needs to be to really dominate the game like you'd like to. We can still win. We still win our games, and we can win them as we have to, but that's not the way we would ideally like to get it done.
Geno seemed like he played an incredibly good game. Really complete, seeing things well, anticipation, et cetera.
His movement was really good, being able to find the little spaces in there and find the receivers quickly and efficiently against a really good, you know, couple guys rushing the passer. I thought we did fine protecting along with his movement. I mean, he had, with like you have to do, he moves well to make the space. So I thought he played really good.
Yeah, super, super efficient. Gosh, you know, we were talking earlier, if he had a little more of that run game, if you had a little more balance, doesn't even more of his game come to life? Like, as a play-action guy, isn't he like, not every QB is a great play. I mean, he strikes me as a great play-action guy.
It's because he's really good. You know, he can stand in the pocket. You get the extra protection moment, you know, in there because of the play action. And he can see the field well. He reads things really well. And he's got every throw. He's got the gun to hit all those, you know, mid-range to deeper type of stuff. So he's really good at it. Our numbers are really good in play actions and our explosions and all that. You know, they follow suit. So, he's just a good ball player.
Coach, what happened with Jamal?
His knee never made it back. It just couldn't. It really, he just didn't have enough time to get it back to where he was full speed all go.
You said that earlier, enough time. Do you mean from last year, or do you mean from a few weeks ago?
No, it's from the surgery from last year. All through the early part of the season, he was struggling to just get through the week. He couldn't practice. He could only practice in limited fashion because he couldn't take the wear and tear of the beating on it. And so then the game would have an effect, and then he'd have to wait for the next couple days. And so he never, ever got in the rhythm of it. And we just tried to just keep fighting because he was fighting. He was unbelievably competitive about it and did everything he could. He tore his heart out to get out on the field and get ready to play. But as you could see the plays coming, it was just hard for him. And he wasn't the same athlete as he was, which he will be. It's just he got Stephen Gilmore is one of the guys. He has had the same surgery that he's talked to a lot and kind of coached him through what to expect. And playing the kind of position and the style of play that he has, it was going to be more taxing for him than even for Steph. And so he knew that. He was trying to overcome that, and he did everything he could. And so we just had to really just call it off.
Is there some similar parallel to what you just said about Abe? Where, like, functionally you can function, but you just don't have your power. You don't have your explosion. You don't have your burst.
That's right. When it's like that, then you play less than what you're capable. But that doesn't mean that you still can't play. It doesn't mean that you don't. Your heart isn't torn to play, and you give everything you can. And these guys are as admirable as they could possibly be to fight their way through something that they just have to wait it out.
You think in his future he's more linebacker than safety?
He's best around the action. He's best around, we're close to it. It just depends on how you play him. We played him in a really cool spot where he could be part of the DB stuff, but part of the linebacker fit stuff, and could be a factor. Also, you want him to be a threat to blitz, mm-hmm. because he's really an effective blitzer when he's at full go. And so that's not on the deep end. You know, you have to come out of the deep end to show that. So we put him in a position where he could be a factor. And he had trouble. He had three or four chances early in the year. He had clean shots, you know, and couldn't quite get them converted because he just couldn't make that last little twitch that you got to make the play, you know. And he was there giving it his best.
I know you have, what, you told us 8 screens up in your office. So I don't know if you had the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl at all on yesterday.
Yeah, I had them on. I couldn't miss these games. They're too important.
They're unbelievable.
Too important to see the world of football.
Couldn't have scripted them better. Final play, both. Games, late game stuff, decisions. Harbaugh, I don't know why he decided to call timeout, just get to overtime. Kalen DeBoer probably wonders, gosh, we really probably should have run on third down instead of throwing it and burn another timeout.
Maybe or kneeled on the ball late.
Maybe kneel. You know, all these decisions that always come down that after the fact are those of us sitting here are like, what are you doing? You know, to walk me through this. So take me through some of your end of game decisions with the challenge of the play and then ultimately the onside kick. Now, in retrospect, would you have done both of those things the same way?
Well, the challenge for what we saw live, he did step out of bounds. He stepped out of bounds on the 5, not the 7.
Correct.
And we thought that there's a hop on the 7, there's a hop on the 5 now that I look back at it.
Yes.
But what Tater and I saw, we saw him step out of bounds. And so we thought, okay, it's worth it because it would be less than a first down if we can get the play. With the you know, at that point, I'm throwing the flag. I'm not worried about the timeout that I'm going to miss out on if I can get a chance to stop him right there. It was worth it. We just missed the hop. You know, in the one look that we got, he stepped out of bounds, but it was the 5, not the 7.
Correct.
So that was that one. And we took a shot to see if we could get another play and maybe have a chance to stop him again. As far as kicking
my
the
thought
ball,
onside kick, if I'm up in the booth, the only thing I'm saying is, gosh, you need a touchdown, right? You're going to have to score a touchdown. So why not set them back? The odds of getting an onside kick are so rare. And yes. I know Jason wasn't kicking it through the end zone. It's a cold day, everything else. So I totally understood that. But right. My thought would have been, I want to pin them back because I got to score a touchdown.
Okay, so let me this is just my mind. We have to stop them anyway in 3 plays.
Yep.
You got to stop them. Okay, whether we stop him back there or here, we have a chance to get the football back first. So in my mind, we're going to stop him. So I'm counting on that's what's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And so that's why it didn't matter where we had to stop.
So you wanted the shot. I wanted the shot.
I'll take a shot at getting the football. We got to stop him in 18 seconds here, you know, or however the clock allows us in that situation. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, they got to give the ball back. And so that's why.
Did you think about just kicking it out of bounds? There's 2:01 on the clock.
That didn't come up.
It gives you an extra clock stoppage in that case, right?
We know we're trying to get the ball back. We're going to take a shot at getting the ball back. We practice it all the time. We rep it like so we know really exactly how it's supposed to go. We're good at what we do there. Mm-hmm. It's something we're competent at, so I took a shot at it. That's not a new thought. That's not some random thought in the moment. Now, the other situation for the coaches, let's just explain coaching a little bit here. Those guys got choices going on in their head now. They got all kinds of things that are happening. Those are great football coaches. Yes. I mean, those guys are great football coaches. And at that time, whatever Jim thought about that, I don't know what that was. Maybe something just wasn't right. Maybe the call was screwed up. It could have been a million things. You know, give them a little slack on that. The stuff happens right there. It ain't all perfect after the fact, as you guys are. Yep. You know, you can.
We're perfect.
No, you can be. You can be. But in the moment, I just gave you a reasoning.
Yep.
You might not agree with the reasoning that we got to stop him here. I'm going to try to take my 1 8% shot or whatever it is. I'll take a shot at it, and we still got to stop him. Mm. That's a decision that I made a long time ago. I won't always do it that way, but I'll do it when the other circumstances call for it. Is it always something that you guys are going to agree with? No.
But were those games last night as good as it ever gets in college football?
Man, they're unbelievable.
I asked Brock today whether he'd ever seen any better thrower of the football in college than Michael Penix.
I don't know.
His name was one of your guys, actually. He said Carson Palmer maybe was one.
Carson was perfect. Carson was perfect. He didn't always throw the ball perfect, but he was a perfect quarterback. He was
deep ball, short ball,
run, and yes. he was smart.
Arm accuracy, anticipation. But how many do it better than Penix?
I don't know. I'm serious. I've been watching him for a couple of years, and I think this guy is really. Guy was. Well, did a great job. He looked lefty. Awesome. I don't know.
Best lefty ever. Yeah. Best lefty ever.
Speaking of lefties, yes. Have you, all your career, have you taken, like, you throw the ball kind of funky or something, like you have a funky release?
Lefties are always odd.
Because you're not right-handed. You know?
Right, that's right. We're all the
It
odd.
Just looks different, you know?
It does.
And so they get, there's a scrutiny about that I think is somewhat unfair.
Yes, he can spin a freaking football.
Golly.
In that game, just two classic.
You have connections to all four of those coaches and some way?
Sark?
Kind of.
Harbaugh.
Certainly Sark, and, you know, coaching against Jim all those years.
Sure.
Do you have a Saban connection?
Matter of fact, I do. You know, he followed me at Ohio State. Have I ever told you guys that?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. I was a DB coach at Ohio State, and I was going to North Carolina State to be a DC defensive coordinator with Monty Kiffin. And so when they hired the secondary coach after me, Saban is the guy who gets hired, you know. And so Nick goes to his first staff meeting with the heralded Earl Bruce, who was just notorious for being a hard guy on the staff. And this is the way I hear it from my buddies that were on that same staff. And he's passing out the recruiting folders for the guys. Saban, you know, Tucker, you know, Mason. He goes, Saban? Who the F is Nick Saban?
Worked out okay for him.
Apparently, Glenn Mason says he's your new secondary coach. He's right here on the end of the table here. So that was well before had become the greatest coach in the history of whatever.
Pretty awesome. Crazy. Well, Coach, one more left to go here. Chance to get in, beat Arizona, Chicago, and go from there.
We are going. It's full on. Got to go get that game. Aren't we in the exact same situation as we were last year?
Almost identical. Just Chicago instead of Detroit.
It's so frustrating to have missed that freaking opportunity when we had it. We had the control of the deal, and we give it back. You know, you look around, look what happened. Look what the Cardinals did against Philly. Holy cow.
Ran it 40 times.
40 times for 200-and-something yards against those guys. Outscored them. Won late. They were well behind. It was 21-something. You know, they were down. It was a fantastic game. All of these things that are supposed to happen, it has nothing to do with anything. It's that game, that day, how the ball bounces, what's up, you know.
Go get them.
Go get them on Sunday. We will talk to you on Monday after that, and we'll let you go. Brock, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, hey.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!